Today's verses from Galatians 1:11 through 24. Paul, called by God. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Sicilia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah,
you guys, I've been waiting to tell this story this whole weekend. I haven't even told Sarah. I don't know if you guys have been, if you watched the news Friday night, but I was part of the news. I wasn't interviewed in the news, but I was part of the news. Okay, so here's what happened was, I was going up I-75, and I'm going up I-75, and there's a place where you can either split off to Pontiac, or you can turn off and go towards the church, towards Auburn Hills. And so I'm driving, just doing my normal thing. And this is like, okay, I'll get your question right after. Tony, be sure to talk with me after, okay? I'll answer your question, all right? So, so I'm driving up, okay? And I'm following, and I'm really, I don't know if you guys have ever, maybe you guys don't drive as often, but I drive, when I go up to church, I'm on autopilot. Like, I'm not even thinking of where I'm going. Like, I just drive. Like, my body just drives where I'm supposed to go. I don't even think. So my brain is, like, thinking of other things. But as I'm driving, I notice I'm following an armored truck. You know the armored trucks that have, that carry money and stuff like that, banks? And I notice, and I've seen this. I've seen this on the news before. I've seen this happen before. Part of the back of the truck is, like, banging. It's, like, it's waving. And I'm like, the back of this truck is open. It's open, you know? And I'm going up I-75, and the back of the truck is opening and closing, and I'm like, the door is going to open. And it does. It opens, and stuff... Okay, I'll answer your question afterwards. This stuff starts coming out of the truck, right? Stuff comes, like, bags start coming out, and some of the bags hit the ground, and they're fine, you know, so it's slowly, and I start slowing down right away, because I see, like, something is going to come out, and so stuff starts coming out, and bags start hitting the ground, and nothing's coming out, like, there's not money, but there's one bag that does break open, and, like, stuff starts flying out, and so I pull over, and it's right around where the bend turns, and so I pull over, because I'm like... And it's right where the bend turns, so other cars cannot see as they come around the bend. They can't see what's ahead. So I pull over, and I'm, like, sitting there, and soon the truck driver or maybe his partner realizes that the door is open and something's falling. So they pull over, and so we're both pulled over, and there's stuff that flew out. The one bag that did break. Like, there was money laying on the freeway, on the interstate. It's like money, and it's just laying there. But the problem is, you guys, is that the cars didn't see, like, the cars that are coming around the bend don't see what's happening, so they go, and, like, a car or a semi, like, goes by, and money starts flying around like this. It starts going around. And so I'm watching people. Like, I get out, and I'm first sitting in my car because I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should, like, call the police. Should I call a bank? Like, I don't know. You know, like this. And so, like, as the stuff, like, a car flies by, and the money's perfect. It's okay right now. But as a first car flies by, again, the money starts going around like this. And, like, another semi or something goes by, and I see the money going shh, like this. And it's right under, there's an underpass there as you go off. And so, like, money is, like, flying around. And I see other, I'm looking, and I'm still in my car, and I'm looking as drivers go through. And I'm looking at their faces as they go past. And, like, money's, like, going off their windshield, and they're kind of like, what? What? You know, like, what was that? And that, so the truck drivers get out, they run back, and they start, like, they get the bags. They're, like, trying to, like, make sure the traffic. One guy starts to try to stop traffic. The other person, like, tries to pick up the bags that are already are still okay and starts picking up money. And then other cars start pulling over. Other cars get the, like, see what's going on. And so they start, like, there's money that's starting to float around on the sidewalk and onto the side, and things are starting to get really messy now. And people are putting, like, they're picking up the money. The driver goes, everyone bring the money towards me! You know, everyone brings the money towards me! And so I'm there, and so I get out of the car, and I start picking up money. And there's, like, 20s. You guys, there's, like, 20s. There's, like, stacks of 20s that are, like, on the ground, right? Pretty soon, like 5 minutes later, the police come, you know, the police, but there's already like maybe three cars that are already pulled over, and people are picking up like just mounds of money that's flying around, right? And so like there's this police car that comes up, and there's kind of, they put on their lights and stuff, and things start getting, like, people really start noticing, they start slowing down the traffic and everything like that. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Because I told Sarah, like, I don't know, Sarah, I didn't tell Sarah because it's not true. It's not true at all. It's not a true story at all. Did anyone believe me at all? Did I have anyone? Okay, yeah, there's someone. And they're like, I knew it all along. It's not true at all. Right? Like, I wish it was. It would have been a cool story. But it wasn't. It's not a true story at all. But I told you this story. And I was told, like, our pastor lied to us. He started out a sermon with a lie. Because Paul, the writer, the apostle, is telling a story, and he wants to, into the book of Galatians, the one that we looked at last night in OCCYG, he's telling a story, he's telling a message, and this whole passage that we're looking at, he wants to make sure the Galatians know, this is true. I am telling you the absolute truth. I want you to know that what I'm telling you is not a lie, like I just told you, but it's the absolute truth. All right? Turn with me to the passage we looked at last night, because I know, like, as you guys went through it last night, you know, at least for those of you at OCCYG, it was kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know all these places that he's talking about. I don't know why he's talking about all this stuff. In this passage that we're looking at this morning, Apostle Paul is talking about the gospel message, okay? And he desperately wants the Galatians to know that the gospel message he's giving is outside of any person, outside of any church. The gospel message that he gives to the Galatians stands on its own, stands by itself. He didn't make it up. He didn't grab it from somebody. It's only been given to him by Jesus Christ, and it's the truth about the truth. All right? And so what I want to do, I want to start by sharing with you guys, because I know as we've been going through Galatians on Saturdays, it's been a little bit like, I really kind of don't know what exactly is going on. And you guys have asked great questions. But here's what's happening in the passage that Kevin read, 11 through 24. And we've been talking about this, okay? Here's what's going on. Here's the backdrop before we look at our actual passage. Hey, Gordon, can you get the next slide? There we go. All right, so here's what's going on. All right, so there's the Galatian church. I just grabbed a random picture of people who from this. The church is in Turkey, all right? So I just like Turkish church. Like there's some people in Turkey who are meeting for church. They're Gentiles. They're not Jewish, all right? Paul's met with them before, has shared the gospel with them before. They've accepted the gospel. They've received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you got Paul who's writing to the Gentiles, who's writing this letter to this church of people. And then there's one other group that's involved that as we read through Galatians that's important. It doesn't mention like outright, but that's really important. It's the Judaizers, okay? It's this group of people who are, they're Jews from Jerusalem. They believe in Jesus Christ. And in fact, these Jews would say, hey, we're not opponents of Christianity at all. We believe that you, Galatians, you should believe in Jesus Christ. We're not like other Jews. Other Jews had totally rejected Jesus. They said, no, he's just a teacher. He's just maybe a prophet, an amazing guy, but definitely not the Messiah. But these Jews say, yeah, he is the Messiah, and so you should believe this. But also, so they wouldn't call themselves opponents of following Jesus. But here's the deal. Here's what they're saying, and here's the backdrop of the book of Galatians. They're saying that in order to become a Christian as a non-Jew, so they're talking to Gentiles, because these are Jews talking to Gentiles, you must believe in Jesus Christ, okay? Good. And have a deeper commitment to the Mosaic Law, all right? You kind of have to follow the Mosaic Law. And what they talk about specifically is you got to follow the food laws. Do you guys know what the food laws are? Like what, I mean, not specifically. What is it generally talking about? Like, you know, you're not supposed to eat. There's certain kinds of animals you're not supposed to eat, right? And they've got to be circumcised. So the Judaizers are like saying, yeah, believe in Christ, but also in order to become a Christian, in order to be converted, in order to like follow Christ, you do this and this, even just to become a Christian, all right? And they've said, you know what Paul is doing? They said, we're from Jerusalem. We're Christians. They would call themselves Christians. And we're from Jerusalem, so we've got this authority or whatever. And they would say that Paul, the Apostle Paul, what he taught you Galatians, what he's done is he's trimmed down the gospel. He's like, Paul is only telling you this. He's telling you this alone, and he's not telling you the full thing. We're from Jerusalem. We know, and so this is what the real deal is. This is the real gospel. And that's why even Paul says, if you open your Bibles to Galatians 1, and you look in verses 10, it says, am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? So what is he saying there? Is he saying that like the Judaizers are saying that Paul is cutting? He's like saying, okay, I'm making it easy for you Christian, for you Galatians, for you Gentiles to become a Christian because I'm going to cut this part out. And Paul's saying like, hey, I'm not trying to please men. I'm not trying to like woo people, cut the gospel short in order to like please men. If that were so, if this was the full gospel, or if I was trying to please men and I was trying to cut this out so that it would be more palatable, more enticing to Gentiles, he said, I wouldn't even be a servant of Christ. I wouldn't be a servant of Christ if that was the case. If I was trying to just go, all right, you can, you know, it's kind of like the modern day, like, what you have to do to follow Christ is, you know, simply say a prayer, you know, and, you know, it's just like, basically, he's just saying, like, look, if I was trying to please men, then I'm not trying to please men at all. I am saying that this is the gospel, and this is being added on. And the Judaizers are saying, hey, he's trying to please you, but he's trying to draw you in by having Paul cut this part off. Okay? All right? So we got the Judaizers, and this is what Paul is saying. No, no. No, that's not the gospel. This is not the gospel. This and this is not the gospel. This is what I'm preaching. This is the gospel that I am telling you, Galatians. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Alone. A person becomes accepted by God solely by faith alone, apart from the living in accordance with the law of Moses. So the law of Moses is not part of it. It's by faith alone. And then he's talking about throughout Galatians that the acceptance of the church participation is open as much as the Gentiles as it is to the Jews. Okay? And so he acts all this stuff out. He's like, no way. This is not a part of it. This is not a part of it. Okay? And so he's like, here's what the Judaizers are saying. You are saved by grace and follow the law. That's what the Judaizers are saying. Follow the law. And that, my friends, is the gospel. He's like, no, theology fail. That is not right at all. That is not right at all. Right? You are mixing up the Galatians. You are teaching the Galatians something that is not right at all. And that's also why he's like, hey, I can't believe you. Like, if you look down at your Bibles, look with me in verse 6. Okay? Look with me in verse 6. He's talking to the Galatians, and he's saying, I am astonished, or I am shocked, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel. I am totally floored, Galatians, you people, that you are taking this as the gospel. All right? And so what Paul is doing in our passage is he's telling the church, this gospel message that I am giving is the real deal. The one that I am sharing with you is the real deal. I mean, it's not like these guys are evil. It's not like they're like going, we're trying to pull you away. They're really believing that this is like, hey, if you want to become a Christian, this is what you do. It's not like they have evil intent in their hearts. It's just that, like, this is what they believe the gospel message to be. And so again, Paul is saying, no, the message that I give is the real deal. And so what we're looking at as we look at 11 through 24 is we're looking at a couple of arguments Paul has to say, you know, this is what I share with you. What I share with you is the real deal. Okay, look with me in verses, what Kevin read in verses 11 and 12. Hey, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was it taught. Nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation from Jesus Christ. And those are the words that I really want to ring in your ears, is that I received this revelation. I received the gospel. I received the gospel from Jesus Christ himself. Okay? I received it from Jesus Christ himself. And so what I was thinking as I was reading this, you know, as I'm reading, like, I received this revelation from Jesus Christ is actually a couple of things. One is that one of the groups last night, I think it was the middle school guys, was like, all right, so he received this revelation from Jesus Christ. He received the gospel straight out from Jesus Christ. How did he receive it? How did he get it? And E was telling me last night that she's going through Acts and BSF and stuff like that. So you don't have to turn there, but if you were to look in Acts 9, it talks about how Paul actually received this revelation, right? You guys know, most of you know the story where he's like on the road to Damascus. He hates Christians. He's persecuting Christians. He's trying to bring down the church. And Jesus Christ shows up to him on this road, knocks him down, and totally shares with them, like, hey, I am Jesus Christ. I'm the God that you are persecuting. And so that's how he receives it directly from Jesus Christ. And I ask myself, okay, so if that's the case, if if Paul received the gospel, if he received this revelation from Jesus Christ, what makes him any different from other people who say they've received a revelation? You know, because there's been other people in history that have said, like, oh, I've got a word from Jesus Christ. I've got a word from God. Is there any way that we can discern, like, hey, is Paul's gospel message, is his the one? Is it? Can we say that he's the real deal, that the gospel message that he's preaching is the real one? Or is it or is it like his revelation is like another person's revelation who's like they've claimed in history that they've also got a revelation from Jesus Christ? Can you think of anyone in history who's also said that they have been given a revelation? How about raise your hand if you know who Joseph Smith is? Okay, Tim. Anyone else? Okay, a few others. All right, Tim. Who is he? Yeah, he's the founder of Mormons, and I don't know. Do you know anything about his story? What his background is? Just a snippet. Right. Yeah, exactly. So like around the early 1820s, Joseph Smith said, okay, well, I received a revelation from God. An angel directed him to these buried book of golden plates that had new revelation on it. And it talks about Jesus walking in the Americas. It says that Jesus was like in the Americas, you know, like typically we think of Jesus back in Palestine area. Samaria, so forth, Israel. But this revelation says that Jesus actually walked in the Americas, right? And so, I don't know, it does talk about, I kind of looked at it, and I know it says, like, well, there were, I'm like, gosh, was there any witnesses, at least with Paul, right, when he's on the road to Damascus, there was other men with him that saw the same thing. And so, like, we know that, like, it wasn't like Paul just came out of nowhere and like, well, hey, I was on this road once, kind of like the story I just told you. Like, I was on the road and all of a sudden Jesus Christ came to me and he told me this message. There's other people there, right? There's other people that saw it. But I checked out with Joseph Smith and there's also, apparently there was 11 witnesses that saw, didn't see the, oh, there's three witnesses that saw the angels that say that they saw the angels. And then there was 8 witnesses who say they saw these golden tablets that he was given. But then he said, what happened, Joseph Smith said, is that after I translated on these golden tablets, I had to give it back to the angel. So that's why I can't show you the golden tablets now to prove to you that this is a new revelation. I had to give it back to the angel. But the other thing, the other problem that the Church of Latter-day Saints has is the historical evidence to back up that Jesus walked in America. It's like, we don't have any kind of archaeological anything. I mean, just not one ounce anywhere in the Americas, in Canada, Mexico, Central America, United States, anything to show that, like, there was any indication at all that he was here. At least, you know, in God's Word, we have lots of archaeological evidence, lots of writings, lots of multiple writings, lots of artifacts that can say, hey, this seems to match up with history. This seems to match up with history, all right? Another is Muhammad, who began Islam, right? Who said, look, I've had direct revelations from God. And similar to Joseph Smith, he's like, I have new revelation. He came after Jesus Christ, and he said, look, I've got new revelation from God. And what has happened is that all this revelation that's been given to us was kind of corrupted. And so I've been given new revelation that will correct it and is the most correct updated revelation to date. But the problem is for Islam is that it's got to disprove the resurrection. You have to deal with the resurrection if you're going to say, well, Jesus Christ was, according to the new prophecies in the Quran, he was a prophet, okay? So he was important. But he was not God, and he was not raised from the dead. Okay? And so they would have to, they have to deal with, like, who is Jesus and was he resurrected from the dead? You know, like, if he says that he was who he was and he was resurrected, there's a problem there. So there's got to be some reconciliation of that somehow. And I'd love to talk with someone who's really, really studied in the Quran to find out if they can do that or not, or how they handle the resurrection. Just haven't had an opportunity to do that. But according to Acts 9, again, Paul had other witnesses with him as he received the gospel message from Jesus Christ. And not only did he have other witnesses, is that his message fits within the rest of Scripture. It fits within the rest of Scripture. I mean, the most amazing thing about Scripture is that there's so many different authors at so many different times, but yet it all seems to fit together. The story is consistent and fits together and flows together so, so well. And again, there's also historical. Christians are interested in history and the historical evidence, and they should be. There should be something that backs this up. We shouldn't just accept this and just, like, have no intellectual engagement with what we're reading, right? We should be interested in history. So here are a couple arguments that the gospel he preaches is the real deal, okay? Here's a couple of arguments. Okay? One is, the gospel message is independent of human teaching, okay? Look with me in verses 13 through 17. We read this last night. For you have heard my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely jealous of the traditions of my fathers. So what he's doing here, what he's saying is, look, if there is anyone out there who would say that this is true, like, who would say, look, if you want to become a Christian, believe on Jesus Christ and be committed to the Mosaic Law. And Paul is saying, look, if there is anyone out there who would follow in with these guys, it would be me. I was the one who was persecuting the church, the Christian church. I was advancing in Judaism. You know, I was, like, so steeped in Judaism. I was zealous for the traditions, the food laws, the circumcision, all this past history. I was so steeped in that. It was so central to me. If there is anyone who would say, yeah, this is true, you want to become a Christian, Galatians, do this, and you need to do this in order to become a Christian, I would be the one, Paul says, right, to carry on these traditions. And you guys, it's like this. It's kind of like what these guys are saying. It's kind of like, the Judaizers were carrying over some of their culturally bound beliefs into the gospel, you know? Like, they're coming from thousands of years of the Mosaic Law, of, like, hey, this is what we need to do to follow God. Thousands of years, you know? Like, this is what we need to do to follow God. And so you can see, like, their jump from moving from there to, like, Jesus is the Messiah is tough. It's, like, tough to go, whoa, he is the Messiah. There is a different way of connecting with God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And so these Judaizers are, it's hard for them to give up. It's hard for them to give up this part because this is all they've known. And it's culturally and traditionally bound in them. It's like for us, as Asians, okay, listen, as Asians, what's the first thing we do? If you are a first or second generation born Asian, when you walk into a house, right, you take off your shoes, right? Like, everyone knows you take off your shoes. Like, I remember first learning this. At my last church, I went into the senior pastor's house. His son was there to greet me at the door. And I think he may have alluded to, like, take off your shoes. But I don't know if I didn't hear him or what. I walked in, and I was walking around their house with my shoes on. And Hayward, the son, was like, man, take off your shoes. You've got to take off. He's like, here's some slippers. Like, take your shoes off, you know. Take your shoes off, you know, because we don't do that here, you know. And now, like, I've moved so far. Like, when I go to, like, I remember going to Joe Chalufa. I visited Joe Chalufa a while ago, and I went to his house. And whenever I go to, when I visit someone else's house, do you guys ever, like, do you just feel like you should take, you're like, just, you walk into the door and you just start taking your shoes off, even though it's like a Caucasian person's house or whatever, you're just like, and I just start taking my shoes off. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, just come on in, you know? And I'm supposed to take off my shoes, aren't I? You know? But that's like, it's just, that's like kind of enculturated into us so much so. For these guys, it was even more central. I mean, this was not taking their shoes off. This was like, of course you do these things. This is part of being a person of God, is that you do these things, right? And so for us, it would be like if we were to, say someone came into our church, started following Jesus Christ, you know, and then we said, oh yeah, believe in Christ, but also there's other things that, to be part of us, you have to take your shoes off when you come into the house. But they connected it more with theology even more than we would. We would be like, you know, okay, he's a white person, he doesn't understand, you know, it's just they don't know this yet. But like, these guys would connected it with the whole faith. We wouldn't do that, but it was so central to them that this is like, this is what they know, and this is what they're arguing. All right, so if there's anyone, Paul's making the case, like, if there's anyone who would follow into this, he's making this argument to the Galatians, if there's anyone that would follow into this set, it would be me, because I was the Jew of Jews. I was like the cream of the crop of leaders as far as theology, of knowing like what Judaism is. So I should fall into this. But something happened to Paul. But something happened. Verse 15, look with me in the first three words. But when God, who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. What happened was, like I talked about last time, remember when I, 3 weeks ago, when I talked about grace, and I talked about how grace, this theme of grace, runs through this whole book of Galatians. And remember I had that card, that Starbucks card that I gave to Orion. Ryan, did you spend it yet? Did you use that? That gift card? Your mom did? All right. You probably don't drink coffee. But you remember that? It was like just this idea of like just giving something to someone without any strings attached at all. And Paul's like, I was the Jew of Jews. I should follow into this because I have the same background as these guys do. But what happened to me is I heard the message of Jesus Christ. He came to me by his grace. He called me. So he like just went to Paul and said, I choose you. I am picking you out. I because of who I am, not because Paul, you're an amazing guy, not because Paul, you're very well educated, not because Paul, it's just because by his grace, I am pulling you out. I love you, and I'm choosing you. And you guys, it's the same for you. This is the amazing part of the gospel. This is the amazing part of the gospel, that it's not just this, this, and this. It's just this. It's just God, in his grace, came to you, not because you had anything special or because you were anything, or because I was anything special, but he was like, I'm choosing you. I am pulling you out. Paul says, but when God, who set me apart from birth, or if you look down, maybe in your Bible it says, from my mother's womb. So think about it, guys. This is what grace is that even before you are born, God had you in mind to give to you the gospel, to show you who he was. And it's weird. Grace is just weird because, again, it's like not because of anything we've done. So it's not like because you lived in a Christian family, because there's certain Christian families who their children don't follow God. God hasn't called them or never called them. And then there's other kids who like their parents aren't Christian, they don't have no ties to Christianity, But somehow God reached them and chooses them and calls them out, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace and was pleased to reveal his son in me, in you. Was pleased, he called you out because he was pleased to reveal his son through you. You, right? Let's play a game. Who is this? See if you can recognize. You don't know who that is? Yeah, it's Becca. Yeah, Becca. All right. Okay, try this one. Me?
That's Jason.
Huh? Yeah. You know, Jason. Yeah, Jason. Jason in his crib. Right. I had a picture of you too. I had a picture of Amadeus too. I was like, I just can't put everyone. I can't just go through the whole room. I'd like to go through the whole room and go, let's do everyone as baby pictures. Let's just see who, you know, if we can all pick out who we are. Huh? What? Anyone? Have a guess? Anyone know? Any guesses? No guesses. It's Michelle. Yeah. Yeah, it's Michelle. Yeah, but you guys think about it. Like, you know, like these are you guys, some of you guys, when you were just babies, right? I've got a few more. It'd be great to have everyone. But just think about, like, but when God, who set me apart from birth, like, he's like, I called Paul out from birth so that God's son could be revealed in him, so that I might preach among the Gentiles. Like, God has purposely called you out and said, I love you because of my goodness, because of my grace, because I am such an amazing God. I'm just going to call you out and I'm going to show you who I am. And I thought about this long before now, long before you're like, oh, really? Like, there's this Jesus Christ who, you know, really, this is who God is? Like, this is really, you know, and some of you, again, are still like, oh, I'm trying to figure out who Christ is. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm definitely there. I know he's called me out. He showed himself to me. But even prior to, he has called you out. He's like, from the time you were in the crib, even before, he chose you, right? And so he goes on. So, but when God, who set me apart from birth, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach among the gospels. And here's the second part that's key when we think about the gospel is independent of human teaching. I did not consult any man, it says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately to Arabia and later to Damascus. And some of you last night, you were like, I don't care where Paul's going. Like, why is he telling us this? I don't even care. Like, well, who cares where he's going? Why does he tell us this? He's traveling this. What he's saying is, one, I didn't consult any man, right? Paul's like, I didn't go to someone and ask them about what the gospel was. I didn't, like, see, like, oh, is this right? I didn't check to make sure that this was the true gospel. Like, I didn't check that. Like, I didn't consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem back then was, I don't know how, it's kind of a weird, I don't know how to quite bridge this, but it's almost like, you know how Washington, D.C. is like the center of the United States and decisions come out of there, you know, it's centralized, but you've got like local governments as well. Well, Jerusalem back then was kind of the central Christian hub. It's where all the leaders were, where all the thinkers were. And so Paul's like saying, hey, one, I didn't consult any man about this message that I'm giving to you. Two, I didn't go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I didn't go and check to see if this message was the correct message or to see if, like, this is, go to this hub where all the Christian thinking was at the time. The message just was the message that Jesus Christ gave to me. It was the message that Jesus Christ gave to me. I didn't consult any man. I wasn't taught it. I received it from Jesus Christ himself. This is the real message, okay? So that's why he's saying, like, I didn't go up to Jerusalem. That's why it's so important why he's telling the Galatians, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't consult with anyone about if this is the real message, Galatians. So I'm just letting you know, Galatians, people of God, this message came from he himself, all right? I went into Arabia and later returned to Damascus, okay? So, for one, the gospel is independent of human teaching, okay? Here's the last argument that Paul makes, okay? And again, last night when we were going through this, people were like, once you got to 18 through 24, people were like, I don't know, he's just talking about where he's traveling to and where he's going and different places. Like, I really don't see how what this means or how it affects us at all or what it's talking about. Look at verse 18. Then after 3 whole years of sharing the gospel, of receiving this revelation, then I went to Jerusalem. Then I went to this hub of Christianity where then I maybe could confer with, I got acquainted with Peter. Peter was one of the main leaders of the church and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. So again, he's like saying the gospel message that I was given, it's just that Jesus Christ gave it to me. It's not that I knew it from Peter, I learned it from Peter because I was 3 years later, or that I got it from any of the apostles. Later I went to Syria, and then verse 20, I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. He's just telling them, this is not a lie. This is the real deal. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. So again, the gospel message is independent of the churches. It's just what Jesus Christ, it's his story and his story alone. And again, that's why Paul says, like, if I change early on this first passage, if I change the message, if I myself change the message, may I be eternally condemned. Because the message is the message, right? And that's why, you guys, that's why it is so important to know the gospel, what the gospel is, to have it ingrained into you, to have it, like, in the center of your core. I can defend the gospel. I know the gospel. I live the gospel, right? That's why it's so important. Verse 23, they only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Here's one of the reasons why Paul is so adamant. You're like, why is he making such a big deal about the gospel? Is that if you go just beyond, if you add anything to this, if you add anything onto this, like right here, if you add beyond this and add this on, what it's doing is that it is taking away from what happened here. The reason why Paul is so, like, the gospel is faith in him alone, all right, is that if you add anything onto there, like, oh, it's the gospel, faith in him alone, plus these other things that you need to add on, it says the power of what happened, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, was not enough for you. There needs to be other things added to it. All the stuff that you did from last week, you know, all the stuff that we know that we did last week, all the sin, maybe all the things, the way that we offended God, the way that we maybe offended people, the way that we sinned against our brother, sinned against a sister, sinned against someone else, sinned against each other, sinned against God, all that was taken care of right here. And if anything is added to this, it diminishes. It says that this is not enough. This is not sufficient enough. And Paul's like, I am fiercely defending the gospel I'm preaching because this is enough. This is enough to take care of every sin in your past, present, and future. Right? That's why he's so adamant about the Galatians believing on some other form of the gospel. Right? This is the gospel. Right? This is the gospel. Let me close us in prayer, and then we can respond in song. Father, we thank you that you show us grace, that the gospel is an expression of your grace. And Lord, while none of us were looking for you, maybe we grew up in a church family, maybe we grew up with Christian parents, but even then, and that is a form of your grace of revealing yourself to us. But Lord, we weren't looking for you. Even maybe while we were in a Christian home or family, we weren't even looking for you, because your word says that we've all kind of moved away in our hearts. We just don't pursue you. We don't think about you. We don't care. But just like Paul says, but then he called me. You called us out, and you foreknew it even before we were born. You desired us, and you called us because you're just that good. You're just that amazing. Your love is that deep and that wide and that committed and that amazing. And so, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that there is nothing besides faith in you alone, and the work of Christ on the cross. And this is why even though we get used to it sometimes, even though we're not thinking about it, this is why we have communion. This is why we come and we want to remember what was happening on the cross. So, Lord, help us to have a better understanding of grace and just how truly amazing it is. In Jesus' name, amen.